Welcome back to another episode, maybe next time. My name is William Bluer. I am by myself today. Nobody's with me. Simon, not here. No other guests. It's just me and my RSS feed. I thought, as a way to digest some of the Nets news that we all so dearly cling to, it might be fun for you all to go on a journey with me, and more importantly, for me to go on a journey with you all. Through an RSS feed that I have largely neglected, longtime listeners will know that while many people use things like Twitter to stay on top of what's happening in Nets Nation, I prefer Feedly, a RSS feed that I pretty infrequently go to these days. But when this podcast was regularly going, I would check multiple times a day. That is clearly no longer the case. The podcast, we barely put anything out. We put something out a few weeks ago about the television show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and its relationship to your Brooklyn Nets. But I thought I'd do a quick newser today. So this is going to be a quick, fun, light, deep dive into whatever the hell my RSS feed tells me is happening in Nets Nation. I have been avoiding this stuff because I just don't care. This team is certainly impossible to love, difficult to like, and hardest of all is to maintain an active interest in, especially when literally anything else is happening in your life. And I mercifully do have other things happening in my life, so this has really been backseated. So that is certainly not an expression. Anyway, I'm going to go through this feed here and start at the top. Don't worry, I'm not reading 134 headlines. Most of them are duplicative because they're coming from a number of different sources. Some of which appear to be defunct. The main ones looks like it's Bleacher Report, Brooklyn Nets News, which no idea what that's pulling from, to be honest, and Nets Daily. So we'll start at the top. Most popular headline is Dennis Schroeder a long-term find for Brooklyn Nets? This, again, is the most popular article I have waiting for me in the RSS feed. I hope not, I guess, would be my response to the headline if the question is sincere and they're asking me. Dennis Schroeder is a, I would say, perfectly fine backup point guard. He kind of makes a lot of money, and isn't very good at shooting, which I think is important in the NBA. So we'll move on. Nets' Ben Simmons undergoes surgery for back injury after being ruled out for season. I suspect the majority of these headlines, yeah, I'm looking on this page, there's already two more right after this on the same theme. How about this? If anyone listening actually thinks Ben Simmons will play again in the NBA, hit me up, Twitter, maybe next time. Let me know what it is that gives you that feeling. Hard truths here, folks. It's not happening. Ben Simmons is not only physically somewhat broken, he is obviously psychologically devastated. He does not want to play basketball anymore, which is totally fine. It's unfortunate that we're paying him $80 million this season and next to play basketball. I don't, you know, as a general rule, don't judge people on whether they do or do not want to play basketball. That is complicated by the aforementioned $80 million. Next headline, most popular. Nets give one of worst efforts of season and disappointing loss to Magic. Didn't watch the game, but it's a believable headline. It was surely a terrible effort. This team doesn't try. I don't know if you've had the displeasure of watching them recently. They do not give a fuck. All right, a few more Ben Simmons headlines. Another headline about them losing to the Magic. Ooh, three takeaways from Nets Daily. I bet these are riveting. Nets regressing to the mean. Brooklyn can survive mediocre McHale games and time to check emotions. What is your emotional state right now, Nets Nation, with regards to this team? I don't want to know how you personally are, but with regards to the Nets, what are your feelings? Let me know. Dennis Schroeder at center of D'Lo rant. Oh, yeah, D'Lo's having a little renaissance. That's nice to see. I still hope for good things for D'Lo. He was the center of by far the most enjoyable run of Nets basketball in recent memory. And I will love him forever for that. I obviously recognize he's a flawed player, but I hope for good things for D'Lo. It's a simpler time when he was around. Cam Johnson has good night in return in rare Nets bright spot. No idea what game that was. I personally, not a Cam head. Not a Cam Johnson head, not a Cam Thomas head. I'm out on Cams. Except I like Cam Newton for some reason. I know virtually nothing about him. I know he was a quarterback for the Panthers, probably. And as I said, big fan. I mean, I like him. I don't, once again, have any clue why. Cam Johnson, on the other hand, just leaves me cold. He's a four, I think, theoretically, and I'm a better rebounder. Cam Thomas, man, that guy is a bucket. But come on, people. He is one of the most inefficient, high-volume shooters out there. Let's get over it. More Magic. It sounds like we played pretty badly against the Magic. This is maybe the eighth article about our effort not looking very good. Schroeder game. Oh, here's one that I'm interested. Noah Clowney's monster game. 33.7 rebounds. Lead Long Island Nets to fifth straight win. See, this is the bread. This is why you get up in the morning. This is why you have an RSS feed. Noah Clowney having a monster game. That is genuinely exciting to me. I know G League, whatever, you know, especially for bigs who have any prospect of playing in the NBA, you better be putting up insane numbers. And actually, the rebounds aren't that good. 7 rebounds. 33 points, though. Tantalizing. I'm a Clowney head. I think Sean Marks is obviously really good at drafting bigs. He drafted Claxton and Jared Allen. I'd say here's a hot Marks take. Very good at drafting bigs. Very bad at drafting players from the former USSR. I'm talking here about the humpback from Bosnia, Janin Musha, and a guy who I thought actually might be decent. He was at least interesting, Rodion Skurutz. But he has washed out of the league and was shrouded in some fairly ignominious headlines. So we'll move on. But it is important to give Sean Marks flowers where he's earned them, and that is with drafting big men. Uh-oh, folks. Here's another one. Nets have to keep up energy to avoid being, quote, punked again. Sounds like that's the Magic game. Nick Claxton wants to keep the main thing that just might get him paid. This is a Nets Daily article. Obviously, Claxton's good. I hate when these contracts come up, especially for young guys, and you have to do the hard thing, which is to say, all right, realistically, how much is this guy worth? I mean, this season on this team, he's worth dog shit. I mean, he's this team is miserable. It's not the right fit. There's not enough shooting out there. There's not a actual ball handler who can, I guess Schroeder's sort of standing in for that. But there generally hasn't been a setup guy. He was, you know, masterful with like a Harden out there. He played with Harden, right? Yeah, he played with Harden, I think, a little bit. Anyway, obviously with a point guard, Claxton's going to look very good. And he's an insanely good defender. And at this point, you know, just throw some money at the guy. He threw money at Cam Worthless Thomas. Not Cam Thomas. Cam Johnson. Throw a little cash at Nick Claxton for us. Mikhail Bridges' much-needed Nets breakout sparked by Cam Thomas's return. Sounds like we won a game. Nice. Way to go, boys. That's fantastic. Nets plan to keep challenging Cam Thomas to be more than a scorer. Good luck with that, guys. I don't obviously have any capacity to actually see into the future, but I'll just say gut feeling, he's never going to be more than a scorer. Next headline, also Cam Thomas related. Cam Thomas, quote, obviously, I should be part of the most improved player conversation. Sure, Cam. Go for it, buddy. Nobody, and I mean nobody, gives a shit about the Nets. No one on the Nets is even going to sniff one of these major awards. Mainstream media, MSM, just don't care, folks. And frankly, I think local media doesn't give a shit much either. Lonnie Walker chipped in against Cavs after return from illness. I like Lonnie Walker. I think, you know, he's a bucket off the bench, a little bit more consistent than Cam, a little more efficient. I love efficiency. I love it. And Lonnie's got it. Cam does not. Brooklyn Nets rain fire from deep, smoke Cleveland Cavs. What a headline, huh? Nets Daily, you've outdone yourself. Anyway, it looks like we beat the Cavs. They were almost certainly without Donovan Mitchell and maybe Evan Mobley again. Anyway, we do occasionally win games, so I guess that's good. Nets losing another top exec to Hornets? Vaguely intriguing. The picture for it is Sean Marks wearing a mask. Is he still masking? Sean, buddy. It's okay. I think we made it. Sources, Ryan Gisriel, longtime Brooklyn Nets exec, leaving for Charlotte Hornets. Okay. Honestly, I've known Ryan Gisriel in a personal and professional capacity for a very, very long time, and there is no Nets exec I would rather lose to the Charlotte Hornets than Ryan Gisriel. He is a... No, I don't know anything about Ryan, to be honest with you. Apparently, he's been with the Nets under both Billy King and Sean Marks. If he was hired by Billy King, to me, that's a bit of a red flag. Also, if he's hired by the Charlotte Hornets, a bit of a red flag. I'm out on Ryan Gisriel, just like I'm out on Cam Johnson and Cam Thomas. this is pretty funny headline. Brooklyn Nets crawl towards season's end with 110-99 loss against Charlotte Hornets. That is pathetic. Nets come up empty and lost to porous Hornets. Yeah, we get it. We lost. That team is terrible. The Hornets, they're really, really bad. LaMelo Ball never plays, and there's a pretty big question mark about whether he's actually good when he does play. He puts up numbers, but might be kind of a Cam Thomas guy, but he passes a hell of a lot more than Cam. Lonnie Walker is trying to provide a silver lining to a Nets season clouded by disappointment. Has he provided a silver lining to you, Nets Nation? For me, while I consider myself probably one of the bigger Lonnie Walker, the Fourth fans out there, I love Fourths, by the way. There's not a ton of them out there. Well, I'm as big a fan of him as I think just about anyone in Nets Nation. I wouldn't say that fandom has been enough to provide this season with much of a silver lining. If so, it's a very, very faint lining. With Bench once again leading the way, Long Island Nets defeat Capital City Go-Go. Nice work. Sounds like Long Island Nets might be the team to get into if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan. We are running through the G League, it would seem. Banged up Nets could get players back. Don't matter. Takeaways from Brooklyn Nets' ugly loss to the Detroit Pistons. Forgotten that we'd lost to the Pistons. Most of what you've heard about the Pistons, you in this instance is me, most of what I have heard about the Pistons this season is that they lost 28 games in a row, tying at least an NBA record. I have Jalen Duren on my fantasy team. Guy got like 23 rebounds this week. Love him. The team stinks, and guess what? They beat a shitty Nets team. Not surprising. Oh, harsh. Headline up next. Ben Simmons' era was a disaster from the jump. All right, take it easy, Dan Martin. Who the fuck is this guy? New York Post. Oh, boy. Of course. They're clowning on poor Ben. Anyway, yeah, it has been a disaster. It's true. The headline's true. But it hurts to hear. Nets blow lead to Pistons. Yeah, we get it. We get it. Oh, another good one. Ben Simmons' sad saga, a $103 million cautionary tale for New York sports. They are piling on over here at the New York Post. Mike Vaccaro, beloved local sports writer. Fuck off. You know what? Ben Simmons' fashion on the bench is a redemption enough for his often absent presence on the court. Only true fans are allowed to talk about what a disaster Ben Simmons is. Everyone else should be quiet. Oh, film study. Has Mikal Bridges regressed? I promise you this. After we get off this quick newser, which I'm going to wrap up in a couple minutes. This is boring even me. I am definitely not going to watch this film study after we get off. That's not how I'm going to spend my day. I've got other things to do, and surely you do too. I hope you haven't already watched it. Essay. Nets face more than one crisis against a mid limbo phase. Yeah, sure. I buy it. Nets embark on road heavy make or break stretch. What is going to be made or broken here?
Best case scenario, we catch the worthless Hawks.
As you can tell, something went pretty awry with the audio. For that, I am deeply, deeply, deeply apologetic. There were some truly amazing headlines in there. I think there was another film study, this one on Cam Thomas. That, for me, is another must-miss. But what is not, and I will wrap this up soon because we've got things to do, people. Almost 20 minutes here. Film study, Noah Clowney is on the right path. Let me clear my throat. This is big news. I was heartened by his 33.7 rebound performance we talked about earlier. Clowney is my boy. I love him. He is the hope of this team. And any news on the guy? What? I've lost the thread. Isn't it great that I came back to finish this out? I know you you all needed a few more minutes of time with me. Nets get back to relevance with another impressive win over Hawks. Boy, that was a while ago. This shows you how long it's been since I've even bothered to look at this team. New York has endured a year of patched up, band-aid needing teams. Okay, so that's like a meta thing about all of New York sports, and we're just sort of lumped in there. The Nets have this last stretch to tinker with the best way to use Nick Claxton before they must pay up. Please pay up, boys. Nets Jalen Wilson announces new three-year NBA contract. Okay, I was not aware of that. That happened 13 days ago. Shame on me for not knowing more. Another article about Jacob Gilliard here, folks. Can't get enough Gilliard in the Nets Daily Universe. Jarrett Allen discusses Brooklyn Nets 10-year clean sweep era. Oh, dear God. That would be so sad. He was on the old man in the three. Boy, I'm not going to read this online. Yeah, he said, honestly, in my second year there, we just had this vibe about us where we're just going out and playing, having fun. I remember that. It was so much fun. I mean, there's this clip of us just shooting threes. Everybody's dancing on the sideline. We're having the time of our lives. Were we the best team? No. But we were enjoying ourselves and playing hard and winning. That is exactly what is missing from this current Nets team. Jared Allen, we miss you. I am always so happy to hear about how well you're doing in Cleveland. And next time you're in Brooklyn, hit me up. It'd be great to catch up. Executive leaves slumping Nets to run Hornets basketball. Are you kidding me? Is this an... They stole another one of our guys? This isn't Ryan Gilliard. Oh, it's a... it is a... Another New York Post article, which I don't... Jeff Peterson. Nets assistant general manager Jeff Peterson. Out the door. Heading over to replace Mitch Kupchak. Well, best of luck to you, Jeff. If you had anything to do with bringing Kyrie Irving to this team, may you rotten. No, just kidding. Who cares? It's under the bridge. Water under the bridge. Okay. Nothing interesting. You know, I'm kind of looking here for maybe a little bit of corporate intrigue. Maybe Joe Tsai firing another CEO. Shorthanded Nets blown out by Magic. We have a tough time with the Magic, folks. Franz Wagner has our number. I think I watched about 4 minutes of that game. And that, truthfully, that was enough for me. Oh, this is back when Ben Simmons was just out with a leg injury. Not before he was having season-ending back impingement surgery. Kevin Ollie. Okay, this is early days of Kevin Ollie. I think there was some hope, maybe, that coaching change. Usually there's a little bump after a coach gets kicked out, especially one as clearly terrible as Jacques Vaughn. There was no bump. There was absolutely no bump. Oh, okay, here's what I'm talking about. Who is David Koch Jr.? Meet billionaire heirs closing in on becoming Nets minority owners. Okay, I knew. You know, you dig deep enough, you're going to get something interesting. One thing that has been nice about the Nets this season is while we may have a Chinese billionaire, or he is Taiwanese-American, but his billion-generating corporation is a Chinese company. You know, fine. I don't care. I don't distinguish between nationalities of billionaires. I think in general, all billionaires should be eliminated and their assets seized and redistributed to us, the lowly non-billionaires. But one comforting thing of being a Nets fan is that we have been able to say, well, at least the Koch brothers don't own us. That appears to not necessarily be the case for that much longer. Julia Koch and her 25-year-old son, David Koch Jr., are on the brink of becoming the Nets' newest minority owners. Fantastic. So not only is this team fucking terrible, but we're going to be associated with one of the most loathsome families in this loathsome, loathsome land. The Kochs. Okay, great. That was what I was asking for, and it delivered. There is, and I don't think you can hear this, but there is Always Sunny in Philadelphia music that has come on quite loudly. And I'm going to leave it in because who the fuck cares? No one's listening anyway. But I just wanted to say one last time that I don't like that show, just like I'm losing it here, folks. I'm going to wrap this up. I've got really very little else to say. NBA rumors. Mike Budenholzer, James Borrego linked to Nets full-time head coaching jobs.
Those are the two names I want, I love, I need. James Borrego, Albuquerque boy.
Okay, this machine hates me and hates the Nets. And frankly, this has gone on way too long anyway. Thanks for listening. This is a Nets newser. I may do these occasionally, catch up on some Nets news, talk with you all. Hopefully, Simon and I put something out soon. So stay tuned to this channel for more Nets action. We'll go ahead and see ya. Nets time, folks.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like Pina Colada,